Thank you for listening to Creators by The Creative Exchange. The Creative Exchange is a social media agency and content studio based in Brooklyn, working with the best CPG and food and beverage brands.
Thank you to our sponsors that made this podcast happen. Discover the power of Rock skincare products that help visibly decrease wrinkles, fine lines, and other signs of aging with retinol and hexanol ingredients. Check out Rock Skincare on Instagram at Rock Skincare.
Welcome back to Creators. This is Anna Sullivan, the host of Creators, a podcast, as well as the founder of The Creative Exchange, a social media agency and content studio. Today we have Laura, who is our senior stylist and producer here at TCE. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anna. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm always excited to talk to people in-house on our team. Obviously, I've gotten to know you over quite some time now. I actually don't know how long you've been with us. I think it's maybe a little less than a year.
Yeah, I think in the summer it'll be officially a year.
Awesome. Well, we've definitely enjoyed having you and all of your talents. So excited to kind of talk about creative today. But if we want to have you kick off, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your role?
Sure. So I am originally from Austin, Texas, and I studied fashion merchandising in school. And I moved to New York to pursue a career in fashion styling. And that was awesome that I was able to do that at the time when magazines were still a thing and popular and a career that you could actually pursue with success. So I worked in magazines and media and with other fashion stylists on fashion shows and different fashion projects with celebrities, like everything that had wardrobe, you name it, I've worked on. And then over the years, as publishing and media started to change into more of the digital space, I evolved with that over time and started to work with brands, fashion brands and beauty brands on digital projects across social media, content strategy, content creation. And, you know, through that evolution, that's how I ended up at TCE working on all of our photo shoots for photo, video, animation, stop motion, anything that there's content creation needed. I'm involved in that process from ideation all the way to signing off on the invoices. So it's been a very, very exciting time. And yeah, I'm excited for the future.
Awesome. Well, we definitely enjoyed having you. And I think, you know, when you came on, it was kind of a new role for us. We did have, you know, somebody else handling this as well as a few other things, but now you kind of have your whole team, you know, kind of to yourself with making all of this visual content for us happen. So can you talk about, like, I guess, more so the importance of your role?
Sure. So all of our production team, which consists of a photographer, a videographer, another senior stylist, and a retoucher, you know, they're all incredibly creative and professional in their field, but, you know, they're all also juggling their own personal projects and available to the Creative Exchange as needed per project. So there's a lot of organization and almost like wrangling them as the way an agent would for a creative agency that focuses just on like makeup artists, hairstylists. So it's like booking them, making sure they're available, making sure they know what they'll be doing on set, seeing the vision of the client come to life. They also have to be nimble in the moment if a creative idea doesn't work out the way we had initially planned. So there's a lot of organization amongst just letting the creative team know what they need to do for a particular project, but then also what the lay of the land looks like for clients, like the status of where we are potentially to landing a client, you know, what their week is going to look like, what their month is going to look like, what their quarter is going to look like. So it's a lot of organization and making sure that they stay motivated and creative and that they're following through on the deliverables. So it's a lot of organization as a producer, but it's very exciting. One day is very different from the next. And the team is very strong and very, very good at what they do. So it's great. It would be kind of, you know, disappointing if they were big egos, but luckily the team is very supportive and very fun.
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, because working with so many creatives that have to like do their own thing, make themselves happy, but fit to something that to the brief of what the client wants, plus what like our strategy and social team wants. It's so many different pieces and people with opinions that I'm sure it's hard to kind of wrangle everyone together.
Totally. And I've had that happen before where, and it's kind of like an old school mentality where you'll have like a creative director or photographer that kind of, even though they're working for a client, they're getting paid by a client, they'll still have a super strong ego and they're kind of trying to push whatever creative idea they ultimately want. And so luckily we don't deal with that so much nowadays. I think that's kind of an old school mentality that people kind of tried to push everyone around. And then now that's like so passe, you know, where it's like, yeah, everyone's so much more collaborative. And yeah, the collaborative energy is much more the way to go.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that kind of takes me into my next question too, about, you know, like what goes into making a successful photo shoot or video shoot, because I think it's that collaboration and obviously having like the right team members on board and everybody being organized. But is there anything else that has really stood out, especially like working with TCE, that, you know, it takes to make something successful?
Well, definitely organization. And I think what's really helped everybody across the board is, and this sounds wild to say, but being in lockdown, we've all learned and we were forced to learn how to work remotely and utilize digital tools to get, you know, our organization together. I think pre-pandemic, people would just rely on whatever tools they needed as an individual to organize themselves. And then now we've all learned collaborative tools for teams. And it's either just, I think maybe it's just like the success of teams because no one's really staying in one place anymore. And or people see the writing on the wall that teams will be hybrid. You know, some people will be in person, some people will be all over the place. So it's essential to any creative team's, you know, toolkit to know how to work with something like Basecamp and Slack and whatever tool it may be that your team uses. Like that's now essential to any sort of project management, just organizational skills. Like everyone will need to know that. And I think that's been really cool to learn within like the past 2 years, and that everyone across like the creative industry has had to learn that. So it's kind of like all of us have risen together in that aspect. And then I think what's also super successful for our team is that everyone has had really great individual experience with clients over the years. So whenever I have a specific question specifically about video, my background was mostly in photo for magazines, digital shoots, and then in-person projects. But our videographer has really great experience working with all sorts of aspects of video. So sometimes there will be questions I'll need that he can specifically answer. So I think, you know, time, sometimes someone will be like, oh, I'm a veteran in this fashion beauty industry for over 20 years. And that's great. But I think sometimes someone who has maybe even less experience, but is really immersed in their medium, can still provide as much value as someone who's an industry veteran. So I really look to our team members to give their insight and their feedback. You know, I think, again, it goes back to that collaborative element for our team. So, you know, our photographer, I'll show him a creative idea and I'll be like, don't you think this would be cool if we did something like this? And he'll say, well, you know, the aspect ratio or the shadows. And, you know, that's, he's really coming to that creative idea from a photography perspective. So I really like to get all of the team members involved in a creative idea and get their feedback. And I think that's incredibly valuable. So that's been really helpful for us, especially. And then tools like Pinterest. I mean, when I first started, Pinterest didn't exist. When I first started like in college, I wish I had Pinterest. Those sort of tools are just so important for us to share collaborative ideas and constantly kind of like put like an image dump. You know what I mean? You know, when you have like, you need a creative idea in the moment, and you're like scrambling for the creative idea, but sometimes you're like, oh, I just wish I had an ongoing resource of images. And so we've been utilizing Pinterest for that, which has been great for us to like, you know, I know we're going to need something that has a great image of like spirits or some cool stop motion idea. And we also do that with our team for Instagram. We're constantly sharing like on our inspo board, you know, just things you see day to day, like, oh, that was a funny meme or that was a cool post. And I think those moments, again, collaborative, are really important and have really helped us with creating successful creative briefs for sure.
Yeah. With that said, you know, like at TCE, we mainly work with CPG brands, and that looks like a lot of food and beverage and beauty and skincare. And, you know, when we're presenting concepts to clients, we have to show them something of like, hey, this is, you know, what this might look like, but obviously that's an inspo picture and we're going to create something that, you know, hopefully doesn't exist yet. How, like, how have you tried to explain that to the client and, you know, make sure that, you know, we're not copying anything that already exists, but creating something that's unique to them while also, you know, we do work with so many similar brands, like we need to make sure it's differentiated.
Sure. Well, definitely visuals are always the best way to start. I think one example I always refer to is whenever I say the phrase edgy, and edgy can be 20 different things to 20 different people. You know, someone could think it's like punk rocker and someone's like, oh, I add a little eyeliner, and, you know, someone's like spikes or whatever. So really starting with some sort of visual reference is the first starting point. And then obviously we're not trying to regurgitate someone else's idea, like a straight cut and paste, because that's just not innovative. And then that's not what the clients pay us for. So it's really taking a creative image as the starting point and then implementing the content strategy that TCE's team has created. So we'll refer back to that to see, okay, what are, you know, what's the competitive landscape the team has worked on? What are some tentpole content ideas? What's currently trending in the market? So there's a lot of these elements that will help shape the creative idea so that it's perfectly crafted to the client, but then also staying up to date with social media trends, industry trends, all of those things. So ultimately, because of that timing, that particular creative idea most likely wouldn't exist, you know? So the best way we can try and get someone into the same mind space as us of like, okay, here's what we ultimately envision it would look like in the best way, is explaining all of those ideas and then talking someone through it. Sometimes it's like a little script, or like the way you'll see, but before someone shoots a movie scene or a commercial, you'll see a storyboard and it'll have action notes or direction notes. Yeah. So really explaining, you know, the visual and then talking through how we see the composition, potential backdrop colors, really like just a lot of details. And then having conversations along the way of like, do you see what I see? You know, and then hopefully by the time it's the final asset, the final deliverable, you know, everyone's happy and we've gotten to that point. Sometimes there's some tweaking needed. Obviously you need a great retoucher, you know, to amp up the photos, amp up some light. But yeah, that's how we've gotten to like a successful sign off and gotten our clients happy along the way.
That's awesome. And I guess, like, you know, every client is very different for us. Some come with like very heavy brand guidelines and rules about how you take pictures of their packaging. Others have none of that. Like, do you have any expectations from what a client needs to provide? And I guess, like, in your opinion, would you say the clients that provide more direction usually have better shoots than not? Like, how has that gone?
I mean, I would love to say it's always super helpful that they have a great brand guideline and, you know, a whole deck of here's our history and here's our fonts and our templates and our color palettes. I mean, ideally, that's a great client to work with and collaborate with because they have a very strong point of view and they have a very strong sense of who their brand is and their vision. And it's almost like when someone doesn't know who their brand is, we're kind of just doing trial and error along the way with them to help them decide. But when they have a really strong identity, then it's like, okay, this is who we are. This is what we want. This is what we like. This is what we don't want. That's a great client to work with. But then there are, you know, the clients that have just launched and understandably they're still trying to like figure everything out. And that's why they also look to creative agencies to help them get to a place where they do have a full-fledged sense of identity. So I understand that. But I think it's fun to work with both and for different reasons. You know, it's like the newer brand that hasn't fully developed their identity yet, or they're like, you know, just launched and we've just signed off on this prototype. You know, you then sometimes feel like you have a little more creative freedom in those moments. So that's cool. That's an element of being cool. But I think just communication is key. I think some pitfalls of a newer brand that's still figuring themselves out. Maybe they don't know how their package photographs yet because it's still so new, or they've just received prototypes and they're still trying to figure that out. And maybe they've already signed on with us and it's kind of like they're still maybe feeling in too early stages to really execute the creative ideas because they still don't even have the packaging right. They don't have the colors right. They don't have the font right. So it's good to come in with those details solidified before you're getting, you know, you're investing in, you know, the photo shoot and everything. So that has happened in the past. And I think just like, again, communicating, having a strong contract of like, here are the deliverables, here's what we'll provide for you is also important, just like business, smart business.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And to get a little more into like the day of process, I think that, you know, so many of our clients don't really understand everything that goes into it, especially like understanding the pricing. Can you kind of talk about like how much goes into like the setup and the full day of making, you know, something that we planned on paper a reality?
Sure. So there tends to be common costs for, let's say, a standard photo shoot. You'll always need a location or a studio. You'll always need the photographer, a stylist or prop stylist. And those are just like the core fundamentals, like the prep in order to create the shot list, the creative brief, meetings you'd have before to talk through the creative and to sign off on everything. And then retouching at the end. Those are like the basics, like the absolute basics. And then those all incur a cost. So that's kind of like the, you know, most stripped down base cost. And then whenever there's additional need to your project, it could be something like, okay, well, we want to show hands and that's a hand model cost. We want to have models. That's a model cost. Then the moment you have a model who's showing their face, then you need to account for hair and makeup. And then what are they going to wear? That's wardrobe. So you can start to see it instantly like adds and adds and adds and adds. But ultimately it's, you know, incredibly successful to have great content for your brand. But those costs do add up. So it's important to have a strong idea and be communicative with the creative team about what you want and what you're hoping for. And then when we are on set, we have every client has a different need. So sometimes they have requested to be on set to make sure that, you know, they're overseeing everything in real time. They're not holding back on, you know, joining in virtually can also take up a lot of time. So they're there to kind of make those decisions in real time, approve in real time, maybe also be able to make some decisions if like something's not working out and they're like, okay, let's try, you know, this decision instead. That is a different element where, you know, we do need to be mindful of the client. So it's, even though they think they're not taking up more time, sometimes it does take up more time, but that is one option. Then we also have clients check in virtually where we will send them images of status. So, you know, here are some of the best shots we have so far. What are you thinking before we move on? And then sometimes we have a relationship with a client where it's like, we fully trust you guys. We know you'll do the best work. You know, we look forward to seeing the images when they're done. So those are like the different types of clients. I would say like the largest production, you know, we've ever had or that you can really get into is like more than 10 models, you're on location somewhere in a big city, you know, and then those sorts of costs are much more than being in studio because you need to account for the moment you have groups of models, then you need more than one hair and makeup person. So then that becomes more hair and makeup people. Then you need to get insurance for the location and for all of the people. So if they fall down on set and someone breaks their leg, like that's accounted for. Sometimes if you have a lot of high value items on set, you'll need security. So it really just like depends on the scope of the project, but yeah, it can really add up quickly. So when someone's on a shoestring budget, you know, there's ways you can do that. But for, I think the way TCE is currently functioning, you know, we have our core base price that is in the several thousands and then instantly, you know, adds up quickly.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, we get a lot of pressure sometimes from clients to speed things up, especially in post-production or just making things happen. I guess you have any feedback to that and like the problems that can kind of happen when things are rushed?
Yeah, everyone across the board will always say, I need my deliverables urgently. I mean, we're hearing that every single day from every single client. So most times when we're dealing with the, you know, on the production side of, okay, what's the most urgent, you know, because it's, we're trying to see what's a realistic timeline for deliverables. We try and set expectations in advance so that, you know, if there's a deadline of like, oh, our website's going live and it's launching, like obviously that's incredibly important for a client. But if it's also like the brief was turned in late, or on the client side of approval, I should say, if they were late to approve something, then that ultimately just is like a domino effect to everything else that needs to be approved, or our shoot date then is, you know, pushed and rushed. And so it's really setting timelines, realistic timelines with the client. And then the client on their end also really needs to uphold their own timelines to maintain like our time, internal timelines for deliverables. You know, I do have a retoucher that we recently started working with who specializes in these quick turnarounds, which is great. But then we also have a veteran retoucher who takes a little bit more time. So it's kind of like determining what the need is, but we've searched for someone who can really do those quick turnarounds. I don't know if I'm answering this question correctly, to be quite honest. It's just like, honestly, everyone will always say, I need my deliverables ASAP. They're the most urgent. Yeah. And we're human. We don't want to like skip on any errors. I think sometimes in the past when someone's like, I need it tomorrow. And then the poor retoucher is like working all night long and still something falls through the cracks. And then it ends up getting to the same deadline we originally proposed. You know what I mean? Because then the client will see it and they're like, oh, they missed that line. Or like, oh, it's still looking a little muddy. Can you like amp up the color? Yeah. I mean, if you want, it's almost like if you want something done right, you need to at least, I would say at minimum 48 hours for a quality work for a turnaround time. But again, it's trying to make sure like those conversations of deadlines, realistic deadlines are happening before the shoot. So everyone, you know, so no one's head has to roll because I'm sure everyone has someone to report into. So I totally get it. And then for us, it's like, this won't be the first or the last time someone is going to say, I need it tomorrow. You know, that's like the nature of the game. So.
Yeah, 100%. We'll definitely appreciate you kind of sharing insight to that. So to move on, I'd love for you to kind of talk about like if there's any trends that you're seeing in content. I know that like most of what we create goes on to people's social channels. We're starting to dive more into TikTok. You know, sometimes we'll do stuff for their website. But is there any trends that you're seeing that we're shooting or just trends that you think are coming that, you know, maybe we want to explore more with our content shoots?
Sure. Everyone is asking for video in some capacity. It is just like across the board. And not to say that photo is dead. I mean, I'm a lover of photo. That's how I started my career. But a movable image, it's just a major, major, major trend. And everyone is asking for it, whether it live on Reels or TikTok or be some sort of motion on e-commerce. You know, companies that sell on Amazon also want some sort of movable imagery or video. So yes, video is hot, hot, hot right now. And we're also just trying to find the ways that, you know, video isn't necessarily a catch-all and isn't a huge success for every single brand. It's like specific to your brand need and you know, ultimately what's the goal? Are you trying to highlight a new launch? Are you trying to increase sales? But yes, some sort of movable image in some way is like the thing people want, which is very much a trend. You know, I've seen people that won't post a photo on their Instagram grid, but they're very active on Reels or they're posting on Insta stories constantly. I've seen polls be incredibly successful. And then TikTok, I'm amazed with the increase in engagement is just mind blowing. But just like the sense of humor and the place for it, TikTok's really become such a huge resource for discovery across the board, whether it's like, I want to know how to do something. I want to know how to cook something. I want to know this recipe to, hey, where can I find the best shoes under, you know, $400? So I've really been utilizing, me personally, I've just been using TikTok as a place for discovery, which is cool. And then also I'm engaging with brands across TikTok more than I am on Instagram lately. But yeah, and then other trends, I would say, you know, everyone's talking about NFTs and the metaverse and Web3. And I'm not incredibly familiar yet. I'm still trying to learn about it. You know, I'm listening to podcasts every day to try and just get industry insider info and just like be well-versed in, you know, digital and lifestyle brands and all of that, just so that we can also provide our clients like strong insight. Like we've actually done the homework. We're actually engaging with, you know, social and seeing cool brands. But yeah. And then I also think that a big trend is like returning back to IRL, like activations again. I mean, obviously, because for years we weren't able to be in person. I was just at South by Southwest this year, and it was I've been to South by many times before, but this year had an incredibly different energy. Like it was like hyper energy. And I think everyone was just so excited to be in person again. So I've been hearing a lot of buzz of brands like reinvigorating their activation budgets, you know, and doing all sorts of things with collaborating. So something like, you know, Revolve always does these big influencer events where they'll send them, like send the top 20 influencers to like Morocco or something. But now they're doing like this like VIP activation in LA and inviting people to come to a lounge. And so that's a great opportunity for other brands to collaborate with Revolve. So like they were offering face gym facial massages to people that would come to the Revolve lounge. And then, you know, so it's that influencer gets to come and experience Revolve, but then also gets a beauty experience and then learns about that beauty brand. So I definitely see that being a big deal in like the next year or two for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That all makes sense. And I still have not yet got to South by Southwest, but it sounds like I definitely need to get there next year.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
Nice. Well, I guess like with that last question, you may have already answered this next one, but do you see anything coming out kind of in the future of content? I know you just mentioned TikTok. Obviously, the metaverse is a new thing, and who knows what else you kind of saw, like maybe coming out at South by. But is there anything else you're kind of like imagining or kind of prepping yourself and your team to get ready for?
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of movement. And, you know, I would like to know much more information, but about the metaverse. And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how we would engage with brands and offer those sort of services. But recently, Bob Iger, who was the CEO of Disney, he recently invested in a huge metaverse company called Genies. And I heard about that on a podcast. And so instantly I was like, Genies, what is this? You know, and it's a service for the metaverse that you can create your own 3D avatar. So it's almost like the way that on your phone, on your iPhone, you have your little Memoji and you know how you can design it. When you respond to people, it looks like you speaking, or, you know, you have your own little emojis that you provide that look like you. So it's a 3D version of that within the metaverse, which is super cool. And it kind of has like a Pixar-y vibe when you go to the website and you see the other avatars. And they look really cool, or you can create them however you want. You can make it to be cool or cute or edgy or whatever. But they're also partnering with fashion designers to create their own fashion for the avatars. And so they're also trying to do like a designer call, what is it called? Where basically you would do an announcement where you're like, okay, if you're an emerging designer or you're a designer that wants your fashion seen in the metaverse, we want to collaborate with you. So they recently did that announcement on Genies. And I thought that was super cool. They were calling it the Depop of the metaverse. And Depop already has like a huge, you know, fan base, user base, and then just kind of like that cool factor. So I thought it was a great way that being a fashion designer is a really, really hard career path. I mean, it's expensive. It's like, so many designers ultimately end up closing up shop. It's just very hard to be a fashion designer. But I thought it was interesting that you could still utilize your creative ideas for the metaverse and that you would get paid for your fashion ideas that you create for the avatars. And I almost sound like I'm, you know, like stoned and speaking about this like alternate universe or something, but it is in the works. It is happening. So to me, I think that's like an exciting opportunity for so many different outlets and brands. And so I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah, same. That sounds really cool. Well, I definitely appreciate your time today. And this was super insightful to just learn a little bit more about the content and especially the processes we have internally here and just, you know, what the future of content looks like. But if anybody wanted to, you know, chat more with you about this or get in contact, how can they do that?
Sure. I have my own website. So you can find that. It's my name, laurazapatanyc.com. And then I'm also on Instagram at Laura_Zapata. I'm a lurker on TikTok. I'm not active on TikTok, but I look at everyone's TikTok. So that's cool. And then, yeah, on the Creative Exchange, any sort of our resources there, like I'm active, I'm around and, you know, excited to connect with people that want to say, hey.
Not sure where to start when it comes to social media marketing? Check out Social Media Toolkit, our resource for all the tools, tips, and tricks you need to run a successful social media marketing program at socialmediatoolkit.co.
Thanks for listening. Please be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at @creative_exchange. Stay tuned for next week's episode.